It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to MedCrimes.
Remote MedCrimes again.
I know, we haven't been remote in a little bit.
It's all good. Remote Christmas time med crimes. It's been a Christmassy weekend, even though it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Listen,
it's not even Veterans Day.
Okay.
Today is Veterans Day. We should just say that. Currently, yes. Right now, at this moment in time, it is not. But when you're listening,
but when you hear this,
it is. So thank you to all our veterans out there. Appreciate everything
God, yes.
that you do more than you will know.
For real. Absolutely. Thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. I know we said like on last week's episode that we're getting into the spirit and whatnot. And I mean, yeah, totally. We did a little, we haven't done family pictures in a little while, a couple years. So we did those today and it was super awesome. It was very Christmassy themed mm-hmm. and I loved it.
Your photos are absolutely gorgeous. So gorgeous. It was so cute.
Yeah,
so
the boys did an excellent job. They were awesome models. You guys are in luck today. You have your last Devinism of season 4. Here we are. To remind you all, in case you have forgotten, that we take our annual hiatus soon. Kate, mm-hmm. when's that coming up? Remind the crowd.
So we are going to release our break room banter a week from this episode being released. And then after that week is going to be our hiatus until January. So we're going to have a few weeks to be with our families and get through the holidays. And we sincerely hope that you guys all have a wonderful holiday season.
We certainly hope you all do. Kate and I have been putting a lot of work in the last, has it been 2 months yet, on weekly med crimes?
Just about
2 months
yeah,
on weekly med
months.
Crimes. So we've been doing a lot of work on trying to get this to you guys and it's been working.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that, though, we are looking forward to having just a little bit of a break to just be able
to decompress,
have less quote unquote meetings. That's what I tell my kids. I have a meeting.
Our kids think that these are meetings.
Yes.
I think my daughter's a little older, so she
gets
it. And she knows what podcasts are. But yeah, the littles are all like, oh, meetings.
Yeah.
It's meeting time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have another meeting with Auntie Kate again, is what they always say.
Yes. Yes, I do. Literally always. Thank you. Love it.
So in this Devinism, where I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to do my 100% absolute best on pronunciation. However, I am not accustomed to Swedish lingo. So
that is a surprise to me.
I know. Shaka. So I'm just putting it all out there right now. I'm going to do my very best.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny. When I was doing some research on this earlier today, I had found one article and I wanted to read it and it was all in Swedish.
Oh,
I was trying to translate. I was not working. The whole thing was written in Swedish. I was like, well, that's not going to work.
I found a lot of that with the Lane's Angels of Death that we did. There was a lot in, you know, the Austrian.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all in Austria. So
yeah
those European cases have a lot of publications that are European.
Yep.
So we do what we can.
All right. So this case is about Christina Astrup Hansen.
Whoa.
And I think Hansen is right instead of Hansen. Hansen.
Oh, good for you.
She
okay,
is the,
I'm ready.
She is the Danish devil of death.
Devil of death?
Yes.
Not even angel
no.
of death like the rest
no.
of them? Oh,
she,
damn.
I know.
Oh, shit.
I was going to say, I think she's our devil, first ever devil of death. Not an angel.
Oh,
she's so not an angel.
I actually don't know anything about this person because Devin texted me earlier and was like, hey, do you have any case suggestions? When she texted me, I was getting my son dressed for hockey and then I was stuck in the box working the scoreboard for everybody. So I couldn't, and so I blew her off all morning.
She did.
So she was on her own
said, fuck you.
Finding her very own topic. Yeah, I did. I was like, fuck you. And I finally got back to her and she didn't respond. So I was like, okay, well, she's busy doing whatever. And then, you know, so I don't have any clue about this. This will be a good one. I love it.
So no, I don't need Kate to tell me what cases to do. However, like we've said many times when we say, send us your suggestions and stories and whatnot, they all go to Kate. I see them.
Yes, I
occasionally,
work, yes.
But that's really only when she sends me cool stuff.
Yes, thank you. To clarify, she was just looking for a suggestion like, that has been suggested by listeners because we like to give you guys what you want.
Yes.
It's not because I need to tell her what to do. She's very capable of figuring it out on her own.
Sometimes
she's a whole ass
sometimes
adult.
Sometimes I do appreciate, though, being told what to do. I'm not going to lie. Especially as a mom. It's
same,
like,
actually.
Just tell me what yes. you want and I'll make it happen.
Someone else make a decision for the love
yes.
of God. I know, but the decision fatigue is so real with me too. I got you. Oh God.
All right. So Christina Hansen, she was born August 13th of 1984 in the country of Denmark.
1984.
Not much older than you and I.
No.
We don't know a whole ton about her early... When I say a whole ton, we really don't know anything, to be frank, about her early childhood. Throughout the limelight of her story and everything, she kept everything. She was able to kind of keep a lot of that history pretty private, which was impressive. Again, mm-hmm. who knows, the paparazzi and the all that in Denmark is probably very different than over here. Mm-hmm. We do, however, know that she enrolled in Herlev Nursing School in the mid-2000s. She finished her exams and her clinicals at Nykoping Falster Hospital before joining that same hospital as an employee at 24 years old. Okay. So right around the time that you and I became nurses. Imagine that.
Yeah, literally around the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So initially, she worked on a pretty stable unit, like a typical med-surg unit. So she did that for the first few years of her career as a nurse. She eventually migrated what they call the accident emergency wing, which was basically their ER.
Wow.
Yep. So she had done her basic med surg and wanted to have a little bit more of a challenge. And so then she went to the ER.
Can we rename all of our ERs accident emergency wings? Because then maybe the people that show up with big toe pain at 3 o'clock in the morning will sort of like inherently get the idea that maybe this is something I should see my PCP
that
about.
That it's for accidents and emergencies?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. Anybody out there work in the ER and can get that sentiment from me, please.
You need to go reach out to DHHS about that, will you?
Yes,
a
little bit.
In a petition. Her peers.
Anyway, continue.
Peers in the accident emergency wing, they held her in a high regard, same as her superiors.
Okay.
Even though she did have some personal issues and some odd behaviors that we'll get to, all of those were mostly overlooked because of her seemingly really great performances. Her colleagues really appreciated her for her highly skilled nursing skills. It's quoted by one of her colleagues that she soon had a reputation at the hospital for being ambitious and very committed to her work. She was known as a little bit of a controversial person. Several nurses on the ward disliked her. Some of them even no longer wanted to work with her, which we'll get to, because it's kind of her odd behavior. She made them feel uncomfortable. It was something that they really simply couldn't fathom. But again, she was so highly skilled that it was just like, you kind of do want her around, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've worked with people like that like, you know, you rub me the wrong way. We do not get along, but like, thank you for being here in this code situation.
You're like who I want in an emergency, right?
You're very,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally appreciate exactly what they're talking about.
So this was kind of the case around the whole unit until we meet Pernille Kersman Larsen. And again, I apologize for butchering names, but
I actually think you're doing phenomenal. I was going to say
doing
great. So,
so this nurse came to the unit in 2014. So Christina had been in the, I'm going to call it the ER instead of the accident emergency wing, but she was in the ER for a couple of years at this point. Pernille, she was a single mom and also a brand new nurse. So she was really anxious about starting right off the bat in the ER at the hospital.
That's fair.
She's eager but nervous, which is awesome. She's starting to become familiar with all the other staff at the hospital. as she's learning what it's like to be a nurse and learning the ropes over there. As she's kind of working with this unit and whatnot, all of the coworkers are very friendly and they're really forming like a nice cohesive unit, working very well together. She soon thereafter became very close with Christina. She started to just be one of the gang and really got close to her and admired her for her skills. Pernille describes Christina as an adrenaline enthusiast who seems to strive on the drama of the emergency room. She's an excellent nurse and often knows as much or more about how to diagnose and treat patients as the doctors in the emergency room. Sure. So her and Christina start working the late night shift and they become very close friends. She knows that she's a newer nurse to the ropes. They start calling themselves the dream team. You know, you got the newbie that's learning from the master. This was kind of after they kind of also started calling themselves the dream team after several patients, they were able to save them from near death illnesses and cardiac arrests. So though they're kind of, she's kind of also liking this vibe, you know, right? She's like, hey, I'm learning a lot from this nurse. I'm being a part of getting some really great experience. We're saving a lot of people. She's also starting to notice that there's a significant increase in the number of patients who are very young, or they come in without any history of heart-related problems, and they're being treated for very mild, non-life-threatening illnesses, and all of a sudden, they are having acute cardiac arrest.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's like, what, where, you know, it just all of a sudden starts to be like, okay, that was totally not expected.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Right.
Right. Completely like, unexpected. At first, it's like, sweet, we're the dream team, we're dealing all this, and now it's like, wait, everyone's having this, right? It was just pretty alarming at the amount.
Mm-hmm.
So it was described that Christina was her very best when she was under stress. She appears to really get off on the life and death situations that require life-saving CPR techniques and shots of adrenaline to restart the hearts of the patient who are dead on the table. Sometimes the patients revived, but other times they frequently die. Yeah. For Pernille, as a newer nurse, this really started to wear on her, you know, that all of a sudden it's just like you're seeing a lot of these patients and it's happening over and over and over again. But one of the things...
Right. What am I doing? Like, what can I do differently
or is
to
like,
turn this around?
Even that? Or is it just like, is this the environment I'm going to be in? There's just death everywhere.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah. Which is like, that's hard to deal with as someone who's so new.
Yeah. So, you know, she's trying to deal with the pace of the ER and whatnot. But she notices that Christina's just really like ambivalent about the unusually high death rate. Playing it off is just part of the job. Now, so again, when you're talking at an unusually high death rate, I do think that there's a level of like when you're a nurse, and this is the part that sometimes stinks, is like you sometimes just become so desensitized to some situations, right? Whereas if you're new in your career and you might be seeing situations for the first time and not experienced it, it affects you a little bit more. But was really a lot more striking than that. So after seeing patient after patient after patient come in and be treated to the point where they're stable, and then they all of a sudden just go into cardiac arrest and die, Pernille is starting to wonder, she's like, what if there's like a correlation? Because again, it's striking as far as how high it is and then also how they're stable and then boom.
Well, then you got to start thinking about what everybody thinks about in these scenarios that we've been through over and over again when these people just like get sick unexpectedly. It's like, is this a staff member problem? Or is this like an equipment failure or something? Like, what is going on?
Right. So she also notices, Pernille notices that there are several doses of morphine and diazepam that are missing. And that there's also, again, that all of these cardiac arrests, she's noting a pattern that they're all happening during her and Christina's night shifts. So,
So she's noticing this independently and no higher ups are like onto this.
Not yet.
This nurse.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And again, you know, so it's just, and I think part of it could just be because she was so closely knit with her. You know what I mean? Other people, like, as kind of I said just a few minutes ago, like people would notice odd behaviors with Christina, but again, they like overlooked it because of how good she was, you know?
She was so good. Yeah.
But Pernille's just so new to the situation. She's just absorbing everything.
Yes.
So it is important to note in We're around the time of 2014, 2015. So the narcotics, and especially in Denmark, so this is a very less regulated system than what we have in the United States. So it's much more, or at least it was at the time, much more difficult to catch like a lot of doctors and nurses that might have been taking the medications that aren't prescribed because of how dysregulated they had processes for.
Got it.
So that was something that was very common in the country and whatnot, is just because they didn't have those laws in place. So she did realize, though, she's just like, if I'm going to be able to like do anything about this or bring apart my concerns, I'm going to have to like get some really strong evidence. Right. Like right now, she's just got suspicions. She does go to administrators about her concerns at the hospital, but she was encouraged at this point in time to not engage in gossip in things that she can't substantiate. And
it's that European.
I was just going to bring up what you said before. Yeah.
Medical culture of silence with your coworkers.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
We're learning about this season because we've done so many European cases.
We have. And so as I was researching, I'm like, God, again, here it is. Like
again.
Yeah. It's like if
it's
you
crazy.
Can't substantiate this. Yeah, for sure. She does end up, she does end up in a relationship with one of the doctors at the hospital, Dr. Niles London. And so he is able to help corroborate some of her claims. So because of this and because of his reputation, the hospital did start to look into a little bit further some of the concerns that Pernille's having. Hey, Kate, guess what?
What?
I am super comfortable right now.
Same.
Oh, you want to know why?
Yep, I do.
Because I'm in my comfort clothes.
Oh my God, me too. I love comfort. Ah!
The holidays are right around the corner.
Literally
five minutes away.
Like, I hear that little Mariah Carey, hi.
She's unthawing. It's that time of year. We're all looking to restock on some winter cool weather stuff.
Yep.
Don't forget to beef up your cozy weather wardrobe, too.
Yeah, buddy. If you're like me and you're in your cozy girl era, because that is where I live. Comfort is nice because it has options for the whole family. They have men's clothes, they have women's clothes, they have kids, and even furry friends.
The dog! You know, ever since you told me about comfort and I've been exploring in it, I never want to get out of these clothes.
I wash all of my comfort stuff on constant rotation because I get pissed if I have to sleep in anything else or wear a different sweatshirt.
My favorite part is that they're very size inclusive.
Their matching sets come in this variety of weights, the variety of colors. Every single thing that I have gotten has been so high quality.
I love the colors.
Oh,
me too. I'm currently in a mix of the dark, warm green fall color with some light blue pastel. Like,
yes.
I am a season mix right now.
You literally are. I am in the Comfort Pastel Edit, the light pink color in the crew neck sweatshirt, and it is one of my favorites. I wear it all the time. And it's hard to describe, but I have a lot of sweatshirts, okay? Don't at me. But since I've been wearing Comfort, I always reach for these first. Because they're so soft, they're so comfortable, but they have enough structure that it feels like you're getting a warm hug when you put it on. You know what I mean?
Who doesn't like warm hugs?
Olaf likes warm hugs, and so do I.
As hell does. But I'm really thinking about getting the comfort weighted blanket.
Oh my God, I know. We gotta get some from the Pod Lab, dude.
So not only do they have the clothes, but they have the luxurious blanket as well.
They really do.
And I don't know about any of you, but I love a good weighted blanket.
My next one is gonna be the Travel Essentials hoodie because it has a built-in eye mask and like, what? You heard me right. There is a built-in eye mask on this bad boy. They have all of the colors. The quality is so high and it holds up really well over time. I've washed these things, like I said, on constant rotation.
That's my favorite. I hate when my favorite stuff starts to pill.
Yes. These don't do that.
Nope.
These do not do that. They're so functional. They're loaded with pockets, which I love. I got to have a pocket. You know what I mean? So everything is like not only so comfortable, but so functional. You know,
absolutely.
And makes things so easy. And the prices are honestly super affordable. And they're actually having a sale right now. So, yep, GTFO. Get over there.
Get over there.
Get over there.
So if you want to check out and get your own comfort stuff right before the holiday season, check out www.comfort, that's comfort.com/medcrimes and get 15% off your purchase.
That is www.comfort.com, FRT.com/medcrimes for 15% off of your purchase.
Go and get snuggly.
Woo!
Do it. So they start looking into about 20 deaths that Christina had signed off on during her work at the ER. So without her, let's call him her boyfriend, without him, Christina probably likely never would have been caught because, like I said, things had been really kind of getting brushed under the rug. So they did do an investigation, and it kind of all came about after one night that I'll kind of get to in just a minute. But so they do a thorough investigation, and detectives reach the conclusion that Christina Hansen was injecting lethal amounts of morphine and diazepam directly into the bloodstream of unsuspecting patients. And this was to slow their respiratory rates and cause cardiac arrest.
Seriously?
Yes. And, you know, I'm kind of writing here in my notes, I'm like, the screwed up part is that so many people suspected or saw something or noticed that something was off about Christina.
Right.
But yet it took the new person. But again, it's just that culture that we've talked about several different times.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Yeah, for
that's
sure. Crazy. So some of the victims that she ends up being charged with. So her first confirmed victim was 72-year-old Arnie Herskoff, and he had arrived at the hospital on the afternoon of February 17th, 2012. He had arrived after his younger brother had found him on the bathroom floor. Arnie had slipped and fallen, according to his brother. He was unable to get up and could not explain how long he had been lying on the floor. His body was cold.
Oh, no.
Arnie, he was critically underweight at 61 kilos, so approximately like 125 pounds, maybe, had low blood pressure and was severely dehydrated. He showed signs of a lung infection, quickly driving the medical professionals all into motion to help treat him. Arnie did have a rather unhealthy lifestyle. He had a lot of fondness for indoors. And as well as beer, which didn't help his case either.
No, it does not.
Yeah, but he had been improving a lot of his behaviors by the time he had gone to the ER in March. He did die on March 4th following a cardiac arrest. His family was shocked. They're stunned at everything. They also didn't believe. So the theory at this point was that Arnie had done this to himself, that he had committed suicide while in the hospital. But the family's like, absolutely not. He opposed drugs. So first of all, how would he get them? But again, things are dysregulated. Right? So I don't know if this unhealthy man's up walking around the
hospital. The guy doesn't leave his
house. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
So he opposed drugs. Okay. So his injecting morphine and Stesolid into his veins as a way to deal with his son's recent death made no sense. But this is how the police were trying to spin it and hospital administrators at the time. This was in 2012.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
It turns out later in years that this was her first victim. So her second victim was 66-year-old Viggo Holm Petersen. They had been admitted to the hospital February 28th of 2015. This was for observation related to extremely weak vital signs stemming from bladder cancer. He had been stable within hours coming in. They were able to work on him and get his vitals stable. But then all of a sudden, his condition suddenly deteriorated once his family had left for the night. In fact, he passed away only minutes later after medication had gone into his system.
Minutes. Oh, my God. How sad.
Then we have 88-year-old Anna Lise Poulsen. She'd been admitted to the hospital on February 28th of 2015. She'd arrived alone from her retirement home as she had trouble breathing. She had a lung infection, plus she suffered from dementia and possible blood poisoning. This was making the doctors decide that she was not to be resuscitated if she stopped breathing, which is exactly what happened. Uh-huh. She had passed away at 8:30 that night. And again, per Christina's MO, she had been injected with a lethal dose of drugs into her already weak and wavering system. So these are the three victims. So there were many victims, but these are the three that they were able to proceed with later on. And also, these are also victims that Pernille was able to bring concerns about because, again, she wasn't in 2012. She wasn't working there yet. You know what I mean? So it took a while to connect that case and whatnot to her. But like I said, along with many people that we've talked about on the show, she really was loving the hype of being able to try to rescue her victims in attempt to show off her nursing school's skills. That was a part of like what just really got her going and what she liked to just always talk about is what she did to save them. She had a night where she attempted to take someone's life. So this was on February 28th of 2015, the same night as Anna Paulson. So this was the same night in the same shift. So she did attempt to take the life of 72-year-old Maggie Margreth Rossman's life. But thanks to quick thinking of Pernille, she was able to save the life of that elderly woman and was able to revive her from the medications that she had been given. This also made, because of Pernille's attempts and the details that Pernille knew about the case of this particular of Maggie, she was able to bring these concerns to the police, and it was enough to arrest Christina the very next day. It was enough because it was like an eyewitness of actually everything that was happening.
Yes. Way to see something and say something, girlfriend.
Say it. So she was arrested on March 1st. So she was arrested on 3 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. So those are the four victims that I just briefly discussed. And she decided she pled not guilty. She's like, nope. I didn't do this. I did not murder those people.
Okay.
So she ended up having a 27-day long trial. And this involved, had 70 witnesses. I mean, this thing was huge. There were so many different witnesses and people that they were coming into the case. So this was in 2016. So it was well about 15 months from the time she was arrested to the time that they went to trial. One of the biggest things to come out of her trial was that there was a legal psychiatric personality survey. So it was determined that Christina suffered from Hansen. I can't say Hansen. Makes me think of the band. Anyway.
Bop. Sorry.
So this psychiatric personality survey determined that she suffered from histrionic personality disorder. And so it states, when you suffer from a histrionic personality disorder, what was previously called a hysterical neurosis, you have a pressing urge to be at the heart of dramatic events. Many manipulate both with their feelings and sexuality for the purpose of obtaining recognition from others. A person suffering from this disorder is capable of going to extreme lengths for positive attention. All this and violent self-absorption, which includes narcissism, often makes the person conduct acts towards others so that they can be in the center of attention. Sound familiar?
Who else? Was it Janine Jones?
I feel like many of them could have this histrionic personality disorder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether or not they're formally diagnosed, I mean, those that all keep trying to save Charles Cullen, you know what I mean? Like, it's just they all could.
Yes.
For sure.
They all. Yep, absolutely. You're right.
So this personality disorder was seen by the prosecution as the main motive behind her killings. So as far as where they're trying to prove motive and whatnot, the prosecutor, Michael Bolson, stated to the court that the defendant has arranged herself as the main role character in a bizarre play where the patients are her extras. So although she was described as proficient, the psychiatric report showed that she had average intelligence. Bolstein stated in this context that Hansen had used her personal insight in a deeply perverted way, which was driven by her histrionic personality disorder. So the trial ends. The trial ends, and she is convicted on 3 counts of murder, as well as 1 count of attempted murder. And she's sentenced to life in prison. Boom. Podcast over. Done.
Good.
See you later. Bye.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Bye.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Okay. So I was going to be like, stay safe out there.
That was my exit. No, I'm kidding. All right. So she is convicted of 3 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. And she is. Here you go. Here's your life in prison. You're never getting out. However, an appeals court in 2017 ended up commuting her sentence to 12 years instead of a full life in prison because they're stating that I'll get to it. Hold on. This was in May of 2017, which seemed awfully quick for me. Like, and again, I don't know the Denmark legal system, right? Like for us, appeals take forever. So it's the...
Yes, they do. It's like years.
Yeah. So it's the summer of 2016 when she goes on trial. It's a month long and she's convicted. Whoa. But in May of 2017, she has her cases appealed to the Denmark's High Court. So they reviewed the case, which led to the partial reversal of the original conviction. So the court stated, considering the amount of morphine, the defendant's knowledge of the patient's frail condition, and the defendant's nursing knowledge of the effect, dosage, and the danger of morphine, all the references and judges have found that the defendants have realized the possibility that the patients in question would die as a result of her actions. And that the defendant, when she did the actions, has accepted this possible consequence. So this is how they stated that she's still guilty. However, they lowered that to manslaughter. So they lowered to manslaughter because they're stating that they cannot prove that the patients died as a direct result of her actions. And they're also...
It sucks.
Did she do this in attempt to actually kill?
Of course she
have
did.
The pre- I know.
Of course she did.
I know, but I'm not one of them.
I know. They do this all the time.
So they're also stating, did she intend to actually kill these patients, or right. did she want to put on a show to show them how she could survive, how she could save them in an effort to make herself look good, which is what she got high off of.
Bullshit.
Yes. So this, because of this and the reduced charge, so the high court, basically almost like a Supreme Court, but their high court, they reduced her sentence to 12 years in prison. So, I mean, she's young at the time. She's only in like her late 20s, maybe early 30s, and she was going to have life in prison, and now she's only going to have to serve 12 years. Thankfully, it's important to note, her nursing license has been stripped. So when those 12 years are over, she cannot practice as a nurse.
I should fucking hope so.
Yes. So one of the things that she was also charged on, this was really unfortunate with this, was that her daughter, who was only seven at the time, during the investigation, they also found that her histrionic personality disorder really played effect into her personal life as well, because she it was determined that she had been giving her daughter high doses of sleeping pills and putting her life in danger.
No!
Yes.
Are you freaking kidding me? Okay, that just really sends me. Come on.
Yes. So her daughter had never had any grave ill effects from this, but her life was certainly put in danger and she was felt guilty of endangering a child.
Yep. Oh my God. That poor kid. Jesus. How awful.
Quoted by Christina herself, it stated, "I was extremely outgoing in the emergency situations at the hospital because I really liked them and was hugely fascinated. People say it's abnormal to be happy when alarm goes off, but that's how I was. And I never make it a secret that I thought the days when no sick patients came in were really boring." So despite her...
I mean, I can appreciate her love of urgent medicine. Like I've said many times before, you know, I don't disagree with that. You know, I don't think I would go so far to say that I get excited when a heart monitor goes off or something. I kind of just go,
Feelers
go out. You know, like it's like the oh shit, not the yes, here we go. Yeah. I mean, I get it, I guess. Just a weird way to put it. And she obviously takes it to a very weird place.
So despite her conviction, Hansen, she's continued to maintain her innocence in interviews and any communications with journalists while she's been incarcerated. She absolutely denies any wrongdoing as far as administering diazepam or morphine to her patients.
Whatever.
So currently, right now, she's still in prison at a local correctional facility in Denmark. But due to the reduced sentence, she's projected to be released in the summer of 2028. Yeah.
Lock up your elderly, everybody, in Denmark.
And your children.
And your children, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully she's not able to be around her daughter when all is said and done.
I certainly hope not. And I also hope that there's like a lot of like psychiatric assistance that's going to be available to her when she gets out. Because clearly there's a huge mental health component, as there almost always is in these cases.
Yes. If you were interested in the story, you know, there is a documentary. I have not seen it, but I might, just to get a little bit theatricalized version.
Yeah.
It's a theatrical miniseries called The Nurse on Netflix. I've not watched it, but it is based upon her. Different than The Good Nurse that is based on Charles Cullen. That's The Good Nurse. So
that's
this,
the Charles Cullen one.
This one is The Nurse, and that one is about Christina.
Good to know.
But I have not seen it yet. That might be something for our break.
Wow. Might be something for our break. We can watch documentaries because we're going to have some time.
We're going to be like pre-piling some of our next stories.
Absolutely. We got to start planning and start planning some giveaways for Patreons and all that fun stuff. We'll put a poll out for Patreons to pick our season opener for next season. It'll be great.
That's all exciting.
Good stuff. Yeah, buddy.
Well, you guys got a shorty this week. Short and sweet.
We bring back the microdose.
Short, sweet, and sassy.
A microdose.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can check us out on Facebook at MedCrimes Podcast. Wow.
Yep. You got it. You did it.
Like, what's the second
app? You can find us on YouTube. I know. You can find us on YouTube by searching MedCrimes Podcast.
Check us out on Instagram at MedCrimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/MedCrimes Podcast.
This is your last week to send us any crazy stories, suggestions, ideas, anything to be a part of our season 4 break room banter. You've got until this weekend.
Woo!
MedCrimes@gmail.com.
Love you guys. Stay safe out there, kids.